Okay, well, I see little waveforms, so that seems promising.
Something to work with.
Welcome to a special episode of Love You Like Crazy. Normally, my co-host Carrie and I talk about young adult books, but these special episodes contain discussions I had with people I talked to at PodX. One thing they have in common with our normal episodes is that they may contain spoilers for the books we talk about, not to mention swearing. With that understood, on to the episode!
All right, so I'm at PodX. I'm talking to Ross and Carrie of Oh No, Ross and Carrie, which is the podcast where you investigate... why don't you say it?
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jake. I'm Ross.
No, I'm Ross.
All right, fine, I'm Carrie. And we investigate pseudoscience, fringe science, religious groups, alternative medical claims, spirituality.
Claims of the paranormal.
Anything that makes an extraordinary claim that maybe disagrees with what science tells us about the world, we want to go check it out firsthand and tell people what the experience is.
Yeah, I mean, the two things I would say about the show, not to... do what the person at the Mistakes You Make in Interview podcast panel that we're all at. One thing is, like, it's sort of like listening to podcasts is kind of like if you have a couple of friends who like go out and do crazy things and then they come back and they're like, and then this happened and then this happened.
Great.
So it's like, it's,
we're your new crazy friends.
It's like real, you know, it's accurately reported, but it's also very entertaining and I recommend checking it out.
Thank you.
And then I forgot what my other thing was, so we'll just skip it and say, all right. So I asked you guys about books that perhaps you read when you were young adults or young adult books that you enjoyed. And each of you had responses of ones that you want. So who would like to start?
Well, I'll preface just by saying we're both big readers and love reading culture. It comes up in our show a lot. How much literature we read, especially from various cult leaders and, you know, things that we're looking into.
But speed reading was one of the things that you did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And one that I always claim is one of my favorite investigations because I didn't come away having the ability to read books crazy fast, but it gave me a lot of, I don't know, kind of motivation and some good tactics just to kind of like pre-flip through a book just to get a sense of how long it is, to get an idea of my reading speed for that book, have estimates. Okay, if I read for 45 minutes, here's how far I should get. All of that helped me kind of tackle more reading. And I've read so much more like every year than I did before. But you asked about what we read as kids.
Yep.
And what immediately came to my mind was the author Jerry Spinelli. And he's best known for Maniac McGee, which is, I think it was a Newbery Award winner. And we read it just in class in school. And when my son was growing up, I knew this was one of the things I wanted to read to him because I remembered and loved it so well. And that's kind of an allegory about Maniac McGee. He's this kid who kind of came out of nowhere and had all these special abilities, and he could untie this crazy Gordian knot down at the corner store that, you know, someone wins free pizza for life if they can untie the knot, and he does that. Kind of a Forrest Gump type character, just in that he does all these legendary things that kids tell stories about for the rest of, you know, for the succeeding generations. So after reading that, I had started reading Jerry Spinelli's other books, and I found that he did such a good job of just getting into my head. It felt like how does an adult remember what it's like to be a kid? Or maybe that didn't surprise me as much then, because I didn't know you forget as you get to be an adult. But looking back, I wonder, how did he write that so well and kind of know where my head was at as a middle schooler back then? And he would just be telling stories about, you know, being a kid in a locker room, the things you're concerned about and worried about, and, you know, girls you're trying to surreptitiously stare at, you know, or interact with. And I felt like he knew where my head was at, and that always amazed me. So I'd go back to the library every time and look, oh, do they have any new Jerry Spinelli books? So I probably read a good, like, 8-9 books of his.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, a thing I remember from, you know, that period of my life. I feel like Twitter and Facebook have destroyed my ability to, like, even though I have a book podcast, to set aside huge amounts of time to read books. But when I was that age, like, going to the library and being, like, you know, having my list of authors to see, like, is there any new Beverly Cleary book or whatever? Daniel Pink Bonner, that was someone I read a lot of. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Beverly Cleary, I remember. I wonder if kids can still get that sense of wonder, you know, waiting for a new book from there. I guess you can still find out through Goodreads or Amazon.
Amazon will Goodreads will send you an email all the time about stuff they think you're interested in.
Oh, and about authors you follow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. So that sense of wonder is still there. But I just remember like going on that little old computer, the, you know, Amber monitor and searching for Jerry Spinelli. That's one I haven't read yet. Oh, I'm going to go grab that. That or an Encyclopedia Brown. That was another favorite of mine.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm not. Have you read Jerry Spinelli? I don't think I'm familiar.
Yeah, I remember the cover of Maniac McGee. I think my brother read it. But I don't think I read it. So it's a young man running on the front, right?
Right.
Or lacing his shoes, maybe.
And I don't think they ever made a movie out of it. But I was like a really big Elijah Wood fan at the time. And I kept like picturing in my mind how we could make an Elijah Wood starring film.
Elijah Wood must be the lead.
As Maniac McGee, right.
Ross, the young casting director. It will be Elijah Wood.
It won't be Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, good call as young you. But no, other than that, I couldn't name you any other books by him. Unless he didn't write Dear Mr. Crenshaw, did he?
I don't think that was him.
Similar cover. My brain's just pulling at the covers here.
Yeah. Well,
covers
legendarily
are so important.
Yeah. They're legendarily what you should judge books by.
Yes. Oh, okay. See, no, I'm pointing at the cover I was used to, which is just
this is
his
one I made sure that I got. Oh, and there's that Newbery.
Okay. So this one has a young man running toward the screen, if you will, running toward you, the viewer.
But yeah, some other books he's known for: Loser, Stargirl.
Crash. Oh, he wrote the book Crash.
Yeah.
I'm sure the one they based the movie on.
Not the accidental Both Academy movies. Award winner.
Both movies. Was there a Crash too?
There were two Crashes. There was the racism one. And then there was one that was about
the Dave Matthews.
Someone whose sexual fetish was car crashes, I think.
Oh,
right. Yes.
I have not seen either of these movies.
One of which is like thought to be very racist now, I think.
Yes.
But it's supposed to be an anti-racism. I haven't seen it.
No.
I just know the woke interpretation of it. Anyway. Yes.
Okay. So you suggested a book which I read on the plane and then have completely exited. Oh, wait. Harriet the Spy.
Yes. You read it on the plane?
I did.
Oh, wonderful.
We like Jake.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I started reading the sequel, but I didn't finish it.
Did you see the prototype of Carrie in that character?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a niece named Harriet.
Great.
And I could see there's some comparisons to be made there.
Okay.
But, oh, yeah, the spy, I suppose, the investigative component.
Yeah. So I read that every year as a kid, every summer I would read Harriet the Spy, sort of a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't reread it until maybe 3, maybe 4 years ago. I hadn't read it for a good 15 years. And I was like, oh, my God, this book, it's one of those multi-layered things where you can enjoy it as a child and then you come back as an adult and there's this whole other depth to it. And I was really impressed by it. All of the lessons of it are sort of adult, you're used to these children's stories where the lessons are be yourself, tell the truth, don't be mean. You know, these very sort of unnuanced lessons. And Harriet the Spy is so nuanced. Like there's a part where she says what she learned is you should usually tell the truth. Sometimes you must lie, but you always must be honest with yourself.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's way more helpful than just a blanket. Don't lie.
Don't lie. Yeah. And the lies that she learned to tell were pro-social lies, lies of omission. So she had been keeping this sort of burn book of secrets about her friends, and they find it and ostracize her. And she learns those things were true. The things I wrote down about my friends were true. But those were unkind ways to look at my friends. And by choosing instead to look at the good things about them, sure, in a way that's a lie, but it is a lie that keeps this social network together and that also is good for me internally. So I can be honest in my private thoughts, but I don't need to write them all down and keep this log. And I don't know, I thought that was really lovely. And then there's a line that I have up in my office from the book. I don't think I'll remember it verbatim, but it's something like, who are we really? Are we always someone else around a different person?
Mm.
Which, yeah, I mean, like, is so profound, and I wonder if I even caught it as a child. But you know that we all have these different personas, intentional or unintentional, that just as we're around different environments and people and different things that change us, and we don't even see how they're changing us. I just think it's like such a beautiful, deep book.
Mm-hmm. And you said the sequel also, you felt...
The Long Secret. Yeah. The Long Secret's really good. And now, The Long Secret I didn't read until I was an adult. And so I don't have that sort of grounded, visceral memory of it. But yeah, it's about Harriet a couple summers later going on vacation. And there's like a religious theme that runs throughout it. She's trying to figure out who among her friends is the religious one who left a Bible somewhere. And there's also like some themes of young love. And the woman who wrote the book was a lesbian, probably closeted lesbian. And she later said she always wanted Harriet to fall in love with a girl. But she knew that like the reading world wasn't ready for that when she wrote this book. So there are just some like bare hints of that in The Long Secret, where you can see her trying to sort of shoehorn in that like maybe Harriet's into girls. The Long Secret doesn't stand out as much in my memory, but it was good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
what'd you think? You just read it.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I enjoyed it. I did. I read it as a kid also.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, it's so I talked to my co-host, also named Carrie, about
Hi, Carrie.
this whole project. Carrie, is it?
Yeah.
And she's like, Harriet's such an asshole in that book.
Oh wow! Okay.
And
Carrie versus Carrie, fight.
I know. I wish she were here.
I think there's some truth to that, but I think Harriet learns she has been an asshole, right? And that's sort of an important growth moment for her.
That's how you have an arc, other Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie. But sorry, you were saying.
No. I mean, I think it is kind of interesting how, like, because she never gives up spying, right? Mm-hmm. That's not part of the growth. It's that she, like, can, you know, she just tries to channel it into sort of positive directions to run the school newspaper, mm-hmm. which that school newspaper is a trip. It's kind of interesting, like, there's some little class stuff in there that is not spelled out or anything, but, you know, she's clearly from a wealthy family and some of her friends are not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her best friend is a writer, but keeps odd hours and apparently needs a lot. You know, there's just a lot of stuff in there that makes it for very interesting reading.
Yeah.
If I read it every year for 20 years, I might have more to say about it. But I appreciate...
That's fair.
But I appreciate you, both of you, talking about these books, formative books.
Totally.
And it's great to get to meet you in person. I listen, you know, I'm a big fan of Ono, Ross, and Carrie.
Oh, thank you so much.
Give me a call when you get back. Hey there.
Hey.
LoveLikeCrazy.com